Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORUFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for December 27th, 2019. This is part two of a longer conversation that my brother Paul and my father and I had. Part one is on December 23rd, 2019, that podcast. So enjoy.
We had a chance to actually see real life happen, and we saw God in it. We didn't see, and this is for me really, but we didn't see religion. We got to see actual rubber meets the road Christianity.
Yeah.
And so I think that holds, that held us on maybe a little bit longer than before that point where we actually went, all right. And you know, that's been the struggle in my life the entire time, is most of my Christian life I've been giving myself to God with reticence.
Right.
Or doing it like almost, all right.
Yeah.
You know, like this kind of thing, you know, I'm being afraid that at some point God's going to call me to the mission field, you know, or I'm going to go to some third world country, yeah. And I don't want to be there. And so there's always been this thing in the back of my head that's like, I don't want to fully commit because I'm afraid of what God's going to tell me to do.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, but that's all wrapped up in all of this stuff. So you go and said, because you're reticent and you're afraid to fully commit, you go, all right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to watch this other video on YouTube. I'm just going to waste some more time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play this game. I'm just going to have another drink. I'm just going to smoke my pipe one more time. I'm just, you know, it's all, there's always these little things that suddenly put a roof on what you're able to do because you've disconnected yourself from God.
Yeah, I'm going to tap dance around the situation just a little bit longer until something else distracts
me. Even though the entire time I am fully aware that the thing that God wants me to do is the thing that will fulfill me the most.
Right.
It still isn't enough. And I wish I could understand that. And I wish I could understand what it is in me, apart from the fallen sin nature, that says, I know what's best for me, but I don't want it. You know what I mean? There's something inside me that keeps me from wanting to leap in.
You're back in the garden with Adam and Eve.
I think
it's the basic problem.
It all goes back to the garden.
It all goes back to the garden. Oh, yeah.
Well, even in the garden, Adam doesn't want to accept responsibility. The first thing he says is, I didn't do this.
It was her.
And then she does the same thing. It wasn't me. And I promise you, if none of that stuff had happened, Adam would have made the same choice. You know what I mean? I'm trying to say he would have eventually made that decision himself.
It's always the issue of me.
Yeah.
Me. I'm on the throne one way or another. I can learn religious language. Mm-hmm. I can do religious things. I could be Mr. Nice. And God isn't saying, I don't want you to be nice. He's just saying, where am I in this, son?
Uh-huh.
Where am I? You really don't trust me. Well, yeah, I do. However,
To a point.
Sure, because what we get instead of Christianity is a codependent relationship with our idea of God.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's what we get. We get a codependency with our ideas about God. And when those ideas, our own ideas, fail us, we blame God. Because I think ultimately all resentments and all anger goes back to God. Because it's when you get down underneath all the ugly stuff that happens, we eventually get to the point where, God, why didn't you come through for me?
Absolutely.
Why didn't you stop this?
Yeah.
Why did you allow this? And we are angry with God.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm an addict, and ultimately, God, it's your fault.
That's right.
Well, but the other side of it, too, is that same, and this is the conversation that you and I have had I don't know how many times over the years. I will go back and look through my life and do, and I'll say, I followed God and I did this, and he, and my expectation was not met. So God is to blame.
Right.
I did this again, you know, like I moved to wherever to do this thing.
Yes,
and
I recall
that I was sent back home. I went and I did this, and then I got sent back home. Nothing has ever panned out the way that I wanted to pan out. But the issue, and this is what happens as you start really actually owning your own choices and growing up in God, is that regardless of the outcome, regardless of where you think it should go, is God glorified? Do you know him better now than you did before?
That's the issue.
That's the issue.
It's not the deeds.
No, and the what I mean, the whole thing, I think what God is calling us to believe and to learn is, are you able to listen to the Holy Spirit? Can you hear him? And do you respond, regardless of the circumstance?
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're where you think you should be or where you think you shouldn't be. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Are you listening, and are you responding? That is what it is to be a believer.
Yeah. Right. When you see it in when Jesus comes to the man that's laying by the pool and says, "Do you wish to be well?"
That's a great question.
That's a deep question. You know, do you wish to be well? He's talking about the man's identity.
Yeah.
This is identity work, and that's what we are. I get hung up on my own identity.
Yeah.
And I want to desperately protect some little fortress in my heart against the invasion of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, no, my word is like a sharp two-edged sword that cleaves between the thoughts and intents of your heart, between the bone and the marrow. The word right there in that point where you say, no, it's my will, not thy will. God says, no, it's mine, son. And when you give that up, life happens.
Well, and the other side of it, too, is the idea that we think that when we give ourselves over to the Lord that we will somehow we've
lose.
Lied to ourselves, we will lose who we are. But that's the lie.
The lie is we think we know who we are.
The lie is God is there to say, here, let me tell you who you are.
Exactly.
But because we've believed the enemy, and this is the way that he's so insidious, especially in, it feels like, especially in this generation, is to say these are the things about you, this is who you are, this is what determines your personality, and this is all this junk. We believe that stuff, so we feel like that when we give ourselves to God, that we're somehow setting that stuff on fire and we're not ourselves anymore. And that we're going to have to give up all these things that are only distractions.
Well, you know,
and so be it if we have
to.
And
it's only our arrogance that I can tell myself, it's only my arrogance that tells me I know who I am and God doesn't.
Well, it's like a pot. It's like like the picture.
But who feeds that arrogance is the sin nature and the enemy.
It's the flesh.
He's real.
Absolutely.
He's a real enemy.
I keep seeing this picture in my head of a pot being made by a potter looking up and saying, I'm a sword. You know? And
why'd you make me this way?
And the potter is saying, you have been made to do this thing.
Yeah.
Let me let you do that thing. And the whole time the pot is resentful and saying, I'm a sword. You can't. And so the pot goes in the battle and gets shattered and then keeps getting shattered and wonders, why am I not operating like a sword? It's because that's not what you are. And if you would only listen to what the Maker is saying, you would be able to accept what it is and be used as you were meant to be used from the beginning.
Yeah, and I will take that pot and I will fill it with myself.
Yeah.
So it can be poured into other people.
Yeah. And then in that stuff, you know, and that's one of my favorite pictures is... With teapots, you know, they talk about the more they get used, the more they take on the aspects of whatever it is that fills them. Mm. And it changes how they appear and they season and they become useful. And like, it's so incredible. And it's just, that's such an amazing picture to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Jesus uses, isn't it? I don't know where it is, but I know scripturally there's things where God's calling, you know, he talks about the potter and the clay and all that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that picture is so apt. It's because it's absolutely true.
You know, one of the greatest gifts your mother and I had was after our conversion, and this was a kind of a complaint later, there were no white-haired people around. We felt so isolated because I went to the leaders of my church then, and they made fun of our experience. Mm. And we were reading one day that verse out of Hebrews where it says, "And Abraham went, not knowing where he was going." And I've said this so many times to you as growing up. We looked at each other and said, "That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How can you not know where you're going? If I'm going to go to Oklahoma City, I get on a 44 and I go west. I know where I'm going." Abraham went, didn't know where he was going. And it wasn't long before we said, "Let's do it." And I'm so grateful. Yeah. You know, it moves me to tears what that saved us. But moving to Tulsa wasn't our decision.
Yeah.
We just kind of struck out. Barb, my wife, was pregnant with you, Paul.
Yeah.
And no, I think you were already born. Because you're about two.
Yeah.
The point was, we went not knowing where we were going.
Yeah.
And that helped us in a way that I wasn't even aware of. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He knows us.
Well, yeah. And the other side of that is, and this is I think one of the where the enemy can even make good things a stumbling block, because knowing that story about you, I have done that time and time again.
Oh,
thinking that, okay, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. All right, this worked for Dad. Let's see if it works for me, and it's never worked for me. That's because the Holy Spirit works differently in each individual.
Amen.
Right. And that the call that God had for you to leave like Abraham may not be the call that I have. It doesn't mean that he won't call me out.
That's right.
But it just means that the call that he has on your life is specific to you. And that there are times to be rote in a response. Because I've seen how you and Mom have lived. There are things that when I don't hear the voice of God, I can look and say, well, this is what Dad did. Let me try that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the issue comes when I expect God to respond in the way that he responded to you for me.
That's why that theology that we went through that was so hell-bent was confession is possession.
I've got to
pick out a scripture that I want to apply to my life, and I demand God do it.
Yeah,
it's like holding the Bible up like it's a magic book and saying, God, you said this, you've got to do it, and when I want you to, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
that's it.
That has been one of the primary difficulties of my life in God, has been these things that I felt like I've stepped out in, that I felt really were the thing to do, and they didn't work.
I hear you.
And the difficulty is to not blame God and run away, but to say, okay, well, I did it.
Yeah, but the things that you have done have been so blessed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think of your life, and I'm not going to go into it here on the podcast, and how it's almost like what really you were called to, you didn't really accept.
That's true. Well, and that's one of the things we even talked about recently. Like, I felt like that as a family, we had been given an anointing and almost like you were passing something on to us. And that collectively as a family, we kind of said, no thanks. and the issue wasn't that we didn't, I probably didn't want it, but at the same time, I didn't understand what it was that it actually meant.
Yeah,
and as I get older, I can actually feel that push in a way I've never felt before.
Because I felt that too.
Yeah.
And being the oldest son, I felt maybe a little bit more of pressure to someday you're going to step into Dad's shoes. And my first thought when that idea came into my skull was, I don't have what Dad has. And the Lord, through his mercy, has says, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You're
not supposed to.
Yeah.
You have what I have given you.
Yeah, you won't ever have.
I am your definition, son. And so your failures don't define you. Your ideas about yourself don't define you. Will you allow me to define you and walk it out?
Who was the guy who wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel?
Oh, yes.
Brendan Fraser. Who was that guy? Brendan Manning.
And he was an alcoholic.
He struggled with it his entire life. And God used him miraculously.
Yeah. Let me read a text because we're going to have to close this podcast off and continue it some other time, because this is the core of the Christian life. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul says it so beautifully. I'm just going to read several verses and just kind of close with prayer and add, if you would, guys.
Yeah.
And if we want to break this podcast down to do another one out of it, that's wonderful.
Okay.
Because I think our listeners are with us. Mm-hmm. I think they understand the struggles that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And here's what Paul writes in the first chapter of Romans. He says, beginning in verse 20, because that which is known... verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. It's what you guys have been talking about. Mm-hmm. It isn't that we didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to protect. So he says, and being understood, it's been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Mm-hmm. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the creature who's blessed forever.
And you see in that, actually, when I hear you read that, Dad, I see the mercy of God.
Mm. Oh.
Because he gives them over to that. So in mercy, because the quicker you come to the end of yourself, the sooner God can get to you.
Absolutely. You know? And sometimes it takes things that we never would have thought of. In each of your cases, as I look upon you as sons, the things that I would have planned to get your attention, I didn't see.
Yeah. I think the other side, just kind of as we're wrapping up here, I feel like one of the things I want to make sure that's communicated is that even though we have struggled in our lives with all of this stuff and wasted years of our lives, even, you know, wasted in that we weren't moving forward, we were just kind of cubbyholed for a little while. I feel like God has continued to be gracious to us throughout that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kept, you know, like he's kept us, for me, like he's kept us, we've been able to pay our bills, you know, and all these small little ways, God has continued to be gracious to us. And I'm still move towards him, even though sometimes I took several steps back. You know what I mean? So,
I think I do.
There's in the midst of all of this confusion and stuff where I didn't know what I was doing, there was still the pull of God on my life, and I knew it. And he's never, in the midst of all of that junk, he's never left. He's always been there talking, and I just haven't been listening.
And you see that, you know, the Apostle Paul refers to the Old Testament as pictures and types, and you see that in the children of Israel.
Mm.
How many times they strayed, and then you know, they had these horrible kings, and all this bad stuff happened, and then you'd have a king that comes back and tears down these idol worship and all that jazz, and the people come back to the Lord. It's the mercy of a loving God that allows us to continually come back to Him, and always be that open door.
You know, as you're talking about this, the next verses that I read from Romans just go to my heart. It says that God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who's blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. This breaks my heart, guys, as I read this. He gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They were gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient of parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Isn't that our age?
Yeah, that's our age.
Isn't that our age? It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you really begin to, as both of you talk about listening to God, you can't get in and kind of edit Him and say, by the way, we edit these things out. We've got a different understanding because. And he's saying that because you're choosing your own way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, Dad, it's interesting. You bring those things up, and a common error that I have made in my life is to focus on the behaviors and miss the issue. And there's so much time wasted by myself. And I've seen it.
On the arguments and debates.
In debates of all the minutia of all the evils in the world. And God is saying, you're hurting yourself, son. That's the overall message from Paul. That's why he describes that list.
I think so.
This is all self-destructive and destructive to everyone around you.
But it shows the lengths.
But it shows God's mercy. And God's mercy is that even though when we were yet sinners, involved in all evil and ungodliness, Christ died for you.
He did. Well,
that's the Advent.
Yeah. Do you want to just close with prayer, both of you, and then I'll close after you're done?
Sure.
This podcast is longer than usual.
We'll probably cut this up into two.
Well, we can.
Yeah.
Or we would just let it run. I don't know.
We'll see.
But go ahead and pray, brother.
Lord, I just ask that you would once again release your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Father, if there are things that we're wrong about, if there's if any of that stuff, I ask that you would just edit that stuff out and make it just move out of people's minds and let the things that are important and the things that are wholly true and wholly of you be the things that stick.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just thank you once again for the testimony of our lives, how you didn't leave us alone.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for your grace for my family and for Paul's family and, you know, for Mom and Dad. I'm thankful for the grace that you allowed us to make mistakes and that you were there willing and able to help us whenever we asked for it. So, Lord God, I just ask that you would continue to be with us, that you would be with everybody listening, and that your Holy Spirit would be alive and loud so that we could hear.
Amen. Father, I agree with my brother Matt, and I Father, in your grace and your mercy to anyone that's hearing our podcast, God is so good, and I pray that where my flesh gets in the way of His words, I just pray, Lord, that You would edit out our speech.
Yeah.
You are so gracious and so kind and loving, Father, and our testimony is the grace of a loving, caring God who came, who overrode and overlooked and His mercy spared my life so He could love me more. Praise You, Lord. I just thank You. I'm so grateful to be here with my father and my brother and be a witness to the goodness of a loving God.
Father, we're grateful in this Advent season You came as a baby to just show us that whenever You want to do something magnificent, eternal, You send a baby. And we're so grateful, Father, that this baby grew up and went to Calvary and bore our sins to make us who we were created by You to be. That because of all that Jesus accomplished in and through Calvary, we can discover who we really are, not who the world, the flesh, and the devil tell us, or our old nature, but who You tell us we are, sons and daughters of the living God. What a privilege. Teach us how to be sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.